Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. I have a prayer prepared, so without further ado, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to worship in your house this morning. We thank you for the sun in the sky and the stars that light up the night. We also thank you for the rain that the plants desperately need. Lord, our country will be dealing with a lot this coming week. People are scared, angry, and worried about the future of our country. Whatever the outcome is, Lord, help us to come together as a nation and show each other the kindness and compassion your Son showed us 2,000 years ago. Now as we begin this worship service, please open our hearts and minds to your word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Isn't it good to once again be in the house of the Lord? I know it is for me. I've been out with this, I think a flu virus got me last week. Prior to that, COVID got hold of me. Hello.
Did I do something?
Oh, you turned yours off. Okay. Thought I'd done something there. Anyway, good to be back again. I don't have anything. Well, I have one announcement to make that's not in your bulletin. I think this was decided last Sunday that for the month of November there would be no birthday and anniversary dinner. That would be on the 27th. And what they decided last Sunday was that we'd celebrate three full months. November, December, and January. We celebrate three full months in January. That'd be on January the 29th for birthdays and anniversaries. So we'll celebrate 3 months worth of birthdays and anniversaries on January the 29th. Okay. Oh, here we go. Here's a little plaque. It'll be going on our prayer room door. And Steve was telling me Friday that they're going to have to get a new door for the library.
Yeah, we're switching the doors out. That's all.
Okay, switching the doors out.
At least don't have holes in them.
Okay.
About when it didn't have holes in them.
Let's see. I've got anything else up here I'm supposed to announce. Okay, something about employment opportunities with the Postal Service. Is anybody here interested in going to work for the Postal Service? I didn't think so. I don't know what that's doing up here. Anyway, anybody got anything else I want to share with
Steve and I will be out of town like Monday through Saturday. We're going to take a little vacation, and I did put it in the newsletter, but I forgot to put it in the bulletins.
Forgot to put it in the bulletin. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, no one is to get sick, no one is to go in the hospital, and nobody dies. So,
no sickness, no death. So everybody remain cool for at least a week. So while Stephen Doris go on the vacation, that'll be the first, if not the first, to wish you folks a very good, safe, and happy week.
It'll be a working vacation, as always.
Yeah, it's a work one.
Be a working vacation?
Yeah, I've got papers due next week.
You got papers due, okay.
Yep.
All right, that's the way your vacations are headed.
That's
for
the way.
For some time now. Okay. If there's nothing else, good to see you folks here this morning. Let's turn our attention to our prayer corner. And good to see Tom with us. He had gallbladder surgery while he was in Kansas. And he looks like he's looking good, Tom. Looks like he come through that all right. And how's your wife?
She's got a little bit of flu symptoms.
Flu symptoms. Oh, my goodness. That's why I started out with COVID, was flu symptoms. Bless her heart, I pray that she doesn't have it. Mm. And also, please continue to remember the George Williams family. Are there others that we need to add to our prayer list this morning?
An update on my dad with his pulled hamstring. They did an MRI early last week, and he has had surgery on his tendon. Has a surgery on his tendon, and it has to be a surgeon in Asheville because the surgery is so rare, not many surgeons can do it. And they haven't even given up a referral yet, so God knows when their appointment's going to be.
Well, so your dad's having surgery on a tendon. In his right leg, left leg?
Yeah.
Which one?
I'm not sure which one.
I'm not sure which one. But he's going to do it in Nashville, and you're not sure yet when the appointment's going to be.
Right. We haven't even dated the referral yet. So.
Okay. So, we had your dad's name on our prayer list. Looks like he's not there anymore. So, let's add Keith Palmer to our prayer list. Oh, he's over? Okay.
Jerry, if everyone would remember, David has to go to the doctor this Friday. He tore something in his shoulder, and so he's got it on Friday.
Ouch.
Yeah, but we don't have that surgery.
Okay, David and Barbara both are on our prayer list. Let's underline David's name there, and let's remember David in a couple of days. And pray that things will work out, that he doesn't have to have surgery on that shoulder. If he does, then we'll put it in the Lord's hands, and he'll take care of it. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Pastor?
I'm looking out here, and I see COVID, flu, Kansas City, pulled tendons. I'm just going to lock all y'all up. Y'all ain't going home. We're going to put you right here for a whole week. Out the way, I'll be safe to know that you're in good hands here. Holy cow. It's like, I guess we just take our bodies in like the oil change and get it done every so often. It's good being here this morning. And Jerry, thank you for what you do. And same thing, thank you for filling in for them today. But, the morning, as you know, we're an hour later, and Doris always gets up. The wives seem to always get up earlier than the husband. Maybe not in y'all's case, but in our household, it is. And Doris got up, and I heard her say, "All right, time to get up." And I looked up, and it was pitch dark outside. I mean, I said, "No, please, no. You forgot that this is one of those days when we're asleep an hour later." She said, "Steve, it's almost 6:30. You've already slept in your hour. Get up." But it's good seeing y'all this point. I'm glad that we had an extra hour of sleep. You know, if we slept through it, and enjoyed it. But we're facing a special time in our nation. And it's a time that we need to be in prayer for and pray that God will lead us down the right path. He gave us our democracy. He gave us our Constitution. I don't think another country has that we've got. And we pray that we keep it and that we don't forget who we are and what our lives are about. So, beloved, with those things in mind, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, we're grateful to be in your house this morning. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of family. And Father, we know that so many people had to make special efforts just to get here today. They did it because they love you and they love this church. And thank you for their presence today. Father, our world faces so much chaos, so many unknown questions. We have wars all around us, both political and spiritual and physical wars. I'm trying to think, Father, in my lifetime, have we ever been in a place like this? And we pray that whatever occurred, whatever happens, that we, our nation, will continue to look to you for guidance and for strength. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon each one here today. We ask that you open our minds and our hearts to your word, that we might walk away today with a little bit deeper faith in you, a little bit deeper faith in our mission as Christians. Now, Father, as we remember that sacred prayer that you taught us so many years ago when your disciples looked at you and said, Lord, how do we pray? And you said to say these words,
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us stand now as we sing, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
tell you, because all you have to do is cut on TV anymore and know what's going on, that our world seems to be in a chaos. It seems like we're confused. We don't know what direction to follow. Everything's in upheaval. Wars, rumors of wars. It goes on. And we think that maybe in our minds, since this has happened in our world, that this is the first time this happened. Well, it's not. Paul, right, in his letter to the Corinthians, was writing to a church in trouble. And Paul had established this church in Corinth some years before, and they kept regressing back to their old ways. So Paul wrote a letter to them, and he wrote to them in this manner. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and our brother, to the Christ, to the church of God that in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call the name of Jesus Christ, both their Lord and our Savior. Grace to you and peace from our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Chaos. Confusion. I don't know that you've ever had this experience before, but I'll ask you. You ever driven down a road in North Carolina and they're building or constructing roads and see all these orange barrels lined up alongside the road? Hundreds of them. And you have to navigate your way through all of this, you know, and then finally get to the end and go, phew, I'm out of that mess. It's chaos. Well, 3 decades ago when I met Doris, and found out she was a special education teacher, I knew she had to be good at organization, especially in papers. Because I was terrible. I cannot organize papers. Too many things float around here. So I knew if I developed a relationship with her, if I decided to go back to school, that she would be very helpful in keeping me organized. I mean, she had to do state papers, federal papers. You know, she had to keep up with all of that for dealing with these special needs kids. And yet, if I were to take you to our house and open the front door to our office, and there's 2 desks, one in front of you, which is organized, and over here it looks like a landfill, that would be Doris. I was crushed. And she would tell you, surprised she's not hollering already about this, when I retired,
from organization.
And I can't believe I took on this challenge. Because I am not qualified to talk about this chaos. But do you remember when you were pregnant with your children? And the sleepless nights you had trying to turn over this way, turn over that way to get comfortable, and the baby's kicking around, and you know, you think, you know, running the back of the bathroom and fixing your clothes, and you feel like you look like a blimp. And you think, will this ever get over? Well, here are the end results. Number one, the road does eventually get fixed.
Well,
and all the orange barrels are gone away.
He changed his
mind. Despite our chaos paperwork that we have in my office, Doris and I manage, and we have not killed each other, and we have not thrown temper tantrums, well, once in a while. But it's organized, and we live with it. And at the end of those 9 months, when you hold that baby in your arms, you probably never once thought about all the agony and the uncomfortableness that you have to live through for the next 9 months. So what does all this lead up to? What is the purpose of all this? Well, as Christians and disciples of Christ, how do we look at the chaos in the world? The challenges we face in our own lives, in our nations, and our communities. As I just said, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, he was battling a culture. Now, unless you did a study of those times, we can't really appreciate or understand what these churches, these new Christian churches, were going through. Corinth was a very wealthy city. They also had idols on every corner. They worshiped idols. Everything had an idol to it. And oftentimes, They had a temple of worship that they called, where they worshiped the goddess of love, and prostitutes lived in that temple. It was part of the culture. We can't grasp that today, but to them, it was an everyday occurrence. It was just part of the culture. So you can imagine Christians in that new church trying to battle this type of culture and this type of chaos. So what does it say today to the 21st century Christian? What does it say to us about our little world and our elements of chaos? Gas has gone up tremendously, and we know why. Skyrocket fuel cost, inflation has seemed to be out of control. You cannot cut on the news without saying special report, special news, breaking news. And you think you just cut the TV off and forget about it and let it go, because if they need me, they'll call me. Well, here's a question for you and me as Christians. Amid all this chaos that we see around us, how would you say that the world characterizes Christians? Think about it a minute. Does the world really look at us, the church, as a symbol of hope, as a symbol of prayer, as a symbol of love? The scripture tells us in 1 Peter to always be prepared, to always be prepared to share Christ in every situation. But all too often in our conversation, okay, we get caught up in all of this mess, and we forget who we are. But the truth is, we are the only people in the world that can provide a world of hope and truth to a lost generation. We are the only people who can provide hope and love and truth to a world swimming in chaos. So, beloved, question is, what do we do about it? Are there ways that we can share with the world and in our inner selves as Christians where we can take time to reflect upon the peace and gracefulness of our God, even inside of a world of such chaos and confusion? And I will say to you, there is. There are four ways that Jesus can reflect in our lives and in ourselves the peace and comfort of our calling as Christians. The Gospel of John, we find this: peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You see, when we are stuck in all this horrible events of our world, and Ukraine and Russia and China, Taiwan, the dissension we have between political parties, everybody fighting to take control and think the power. How do we as Christians try to rise above all of that and bring to the world a light of hope, love, respectability, and compassion? Well, and John just told us that. Jesus said, I leave my peace with you. If we look for God's peace, we will find it. If we look for God's love in this world, we will find it. If we get so caught up in the chaos and all the news and the politics and the wars, we won't see it. Because that becomes our focus. I think about, again, the disciples in that room the night of Jesus' crucifixion, when their whole world fell apart around them. And they were, what were they thinking? Not only did they become objects and projects of the Roman government to destroy their own lives or to imprison them, their whole faith picture had disappeared. just did not know Sunday morning was coming. But we were reminded that we have to hold fast to this faith. We have to hold fast to the truth that Jesus tells about it. And we have to do it in the midst of all this chaos. You see, sometimes we forget that God is our best listener. That He rises above all of this. And you know what? So will your prayers. Just take a breath. Take a minute to reflect upon those sacred words. My peace I give to you. And see, when you do that, you'll find your mind, your body just relaxing to know that we may live in this chaos, this world, but we don't have to accept it. Number two, Jesus can restore us. In 1 Peter, we hear these words, cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you. Now, this verse is more than just a notion. There is power in prayer to help us beat the anxiety and the depression that we face. Jesus is the great physician. He is the great psychologist. He is the great minister. We have to hold fast to those things that we so much believe in and not let ourselves go off in these different directions when the world seems to leave us behind. We have faced, as a church, a lot of sickness. COVID, the flu, health issues, maybe even depression. But the Bible tells us that Jesus was sent to heal. He is the great physician. He can restore our health and heal our wounds if we just look to Him. Jesus not only carries all our pain with Him, but He has the power to heal. He has the power to lift all these things off of you. We just have to put our faith at the cross. And when we're wrapped up in all this chaos, it's sometimes hard to rise above all of that. But once we do, we can find the peace that Jesus promised. Number three, prayer can change your hearts. I remember one time, Doris was in the hospital last year, and I was trying to get some papers done, make sure she's okay, get some junk stuff down there at church. Jerry walked in with the Bible, and he said this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, let your request be made known to God. Jerry will never know how much that meant to me at that moment. But see, it's so easy to get caught up on the stress and responsibility, and you pull in so many different directions. It's so easy to let go of this faith and to fall in this pit of despair. But when you're feeling anxious, one of the best things you can do is talk to your Lord. The ability for prayer to relieve our anxiety and depression only happens when our relationship with God is secure. And we do that, we make it secure, by praying and talking to Him every day. See, when we believe in Christ, His love, His compassion, and we trust Him, then the stress and worries of everyday events will evaporate. Now, we're not ignoring them. They are still there. But they won't direct our paths of our lives into such a manner that we become depressed, we become anxious, we become, we lose our sense of desire. We have to hold fast to our faith. We have to hold it in front of us. And number four, and the last. In the New Testament, peace refers to rest and tranquility. A key focus on peace in the New Testament is the advent when Christ came into this world. And we'll be celebrating that very shortly. We have to remember the chapter from Luke. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward mankind. The old prophet Isaiah predicted Jesus would be the Prince of Peace thousands of years before it ever happened. And very soon we'll hear these words. Beloved, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, beloved, it is through Christ that we find peace within our own lives. And it is this peace that will keep our hearts strong as long as we take time to turn to him. The chaos in this world is never ending, and it's going to be here long after you and I have passed on. But it's up to us to make our life count for something. It is up to us to let the world know that we are Christians. It's up to us to hang close to our Lord and to our faith. So when the world is out searching for some peace and guidance, you are there to shine the light of your Lord in a world of darkness and chaos. This is our calling. This is our mission. This is why we are here. Take time to reflect upon your life, to reflect upon your Lord. And when the world seems to be getting you down, and the chaos surrounds you, don't forget that he is always there, waiting with open arms to bring you and the world to peace. I pray for that. I pray that. Pray for that for our nation, for our communities, for our government, that we do not forget who we are and who we represent. That is a promise that Christ gave us 2,000 years ago. And with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's stand again as we sing Victory in Jesus.
Life on Calvary to save us.
plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. How the angels singing, and the old redemption story. And someday I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood.
Face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May be with you in your rising up and your lying down, and your labor and your leisure, and your laughter and your tears. On the day when you see Jesus, on the day when there's no sunset, no dawn. Amen.